Always fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
It is Royce Unchained, and last 2 weeks, Patrick, I feel you've been particularly unchained. So are you feeling unchained this week or a little bit more?
I'm feeling a little morose about what's going on in our fair Twin Cities right now. But
fair enough.
I have been contemplating this morning my A-Rod stance. Now, I believe that A-Rod is a complete fraud. And he's a liar, a proven liar. You know, you could say, like Billy Martin said, one of them's a liar and the other's convicted. But this said, and I, you know, even Mrs. Ricey has turned on him because she doesn't like him on Shark Tank. She liked him on the other thing that he, when he was supposedly helping poor people get their finances together. Yes. That was a little reality show.
Yep.
But she doesn't like him on Shark Tank because he's the most smug guy of those smug rich guys, and then he never gives anybody any money. She says he never like takes the plunge. He just BS's. He's like most athletes. He doesn't want to spend his money, right? But that said, I'm all on board.
Why?
I'm all on board. We need an A-Rod type to own a team in this town.
Oh.
We need somebody who can relate to the youth of America. Have we ever had an owner that wasn't an old white guy or a medium-aged white guy? When you're in a town where your most dynamic owner is Ziggy Wilf, you're in trouble, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jim Polad doesn't exactly light up the room. Jim, if there's a riot out in front, Jim Polad can't go out and talk to people. Glenn Taylor can't go out and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Leopold would go out and talk to people and complain about something. I'm all on board. A-Rod, I think, will appeal because the youth of the under 30 crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't care if he took steroids. They don't care if he disgraced himself. They just know A-Rod from TV, right? Shark Tank, something. They just know that A-Rod, the one that's running around with J-Lo or not. We don't even know if that's still going on. But I'd like to see the booty on those kids, by the way. But anyway, there'd be some booty between J-Lo and him. But anyway, I'm on board. I have decided I'm on board, and let's not wait 2 years. Let's let him buy the club right now. And you know, now when Calvin sold to Polad,
yeah,
he was going to run the team for a while, and Carl was going to take his advice. And,
didn't remember this.
That's what they said on Friday, and by Monday they were all fired, and they gave Calvin an office. But everybody else, the whole family, was going to still be employed, and they got rid of all of them in about 20 minutes. So I got a hunch that now maybe it's just that they don't want to come up with all the money until 2 years from now. You know, maybe they want to come up with a third, a third, and a third, and that's why it's going to take 2 years. But Glenn's, I don't think they're going to be there for Glenn's counseling as to how to run a franchise. But I'm not that worried about him packing up and moving either, because I don't think the NBA thinks it can get $2 billion for expansion teams in Vegas and Seattle. They'll never get that in Seattle, but they might get it in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to let somebody just move there unless you want to buy the Timberwolves and then give the league another $1.5 billion for moving to Vegas. That's not going to happen. So I'm not that fearful of him moving the franchise, but you're right. I mean, you've talked about it. You just talked about it when I came in here, and I assume you guys talked about it earlier today. There will be a demand for a new arena within 2 years, maximum.
Yep.
Or, you know.
You know what this is, Patrick? It's the Norm Green playbook. This is going to be the Norm Green playbook. You get to town. Hey, A-Rod, it's A-Rod. We love you now, right? Right?
Yeah.
And so then what you do is you start saying, but we need a new building. And people say, bleep you. We love you, but we're not building you a new building. Then you threaten.
Yeah, but you got to think of this.
Yeah.
The mentality for new buildings compared to 1992 and now. But you cannot, you will never be able to prove to Minnesotans after the building orgy of the last 20 years. No, going back to 2009, right? Well, going back to the X in 2000.
Yep. And then TCF,
the building orgy of the last 20 years. You're never going to convince them we need a new arena. They'll just say, go play in St. Paul.
Yep.
You know?
And they'll say, no, we can't do that. We want our own building where we keep all of our money. But anyway, the Norm playbook then included, and this is the parallel, it included his first choice, Anaheim. The league said, no, you can't do that. We want to expand there. But we'll give you the ability, if you can't get a new building, to move. And then you've got your choice of whatever site you want. I'm just saying it's naive to think that these guys aren't going to get here and start threatening.
I think maybe the 2 years is supposed to be a non-threat period or something.
Right? Maybe. And I'm not saying it's going to happen within 2 years.
The market that would love to have a team that's ready to go is Kansas City, but that wouldn't appeal to A-Rod and this guy any more than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the country, smaller town. Yeah, that wouldn't appeal to him. It's going to have to be someplace sexy. I had the thought Long Island in the new the new Islanders building.
That's what I was thinking too.
Three teams there. You're out on
right by Belmont,
you're
right
near the Hamptons. You know, the people can come down, and then you got, you know, they got three hockey teams in New York, and you know, that's
oh,
one.
Cat goes home.
That's one I was thinking of.
That's like, see you guys later.
That's one I was thinking of. But I think that you're right. The A-Rod's going to come in and schmooze us and win us over. And if you don't mind, you know, if you're a 30-year-old kid, you're going to love him, right? If you're 35, if you're 40, you're going to love him. You don't care about all the lies and the, you know, the fact that if you listen to him on TV, it drives you nuts because he never says anything. If you listen to him on TV and he says, you'd rather be behind two runs than one run because you always want to be behind by an even number. And you're a, you know, you're a non-baseball guy. Listen, I never knew that. Instead of, what are you talking about, you moron? Like I say, you know.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
But this is not my world. You know,
right.
This is not my world.
But the business world doesn't change.
No.
So yes, you're right. The kids will love it. And you know what? They were chanting, Norm, 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 for how long, right?
Well, that's because he...
I could see the Wolves making the playoffs.
That's because he stumbled into the Stanley Cup Finals even trying.
I know, but what I'm saying is we fell over ourselves for a time there thinking that this guy was the greatest thing. And A-Rod, you're right. He's going to schmooze us. He's the music man. We're going to buy into this.
Game three of the Stanley Cup Finals against Pittsburgh, when Norm is up there like Nero taking bows. Yes. Norm, Norm. Yes. And they win and go ahead 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And Norm, Norm. And that, of course, is the famous night I've talked about so often. I'm in the car. Dark Star's doing 2-3. I mean, noon to three, midnight to three show. And the topic of the night is, does the Twin Cities need a negative sports columnist like Patrick Ricey? Because I had ripped Norm that day for not having the Stanley Cup Finals on over-the-air TV, just on cable where they pay-per-view, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, and 2-1, they were going to win the cup. And then, then they got
Lemieux
beat.
Came back.
Then they got beat the next game, And what was the final?
8-1, I think, with the last game. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like game six here, right?
A great coincidence. Norm, when they came back for game six, Norm was miffed because they had an auxiliary press box, right? And that was taking some seats in the arena where he couldn't charge Stanley Cup Finals prices. He went into the lunchroom. He had him knock the walls out of the lunchroom there and put it in a corner and put seats in there.
That's where I watched the game six.
Temporary bleachers.
Yep.
And we would look like the Nazis waiting for the Allies to hit the beach at Omaha. You know, those bunkers shots you always get in the war movies, right? We were like the Nazis up there. And Norm got his extra 200 seats or whatever the hell it was. And then it was eight. And in the middle of that game, the TV bleeped. And the show that came on was Eight Is Enough. The show,
oh,
that,
no kidding.
The show that came on was a sitcom. It was something went. And like for a minute, they had Eight Is Enough, which was a sitcom from then. And I think that became my lead. Eight was enough, you know. Some, and I think I wrote about Norm having us up here in the bunker and getting their ass kicked. And Badger Bob was he dead a year later?
Yeah, it was a year two. It was shortly thereafter.
Cancer,
yeah. He got sick and died very quickly.
Badger Bob
Bowman came back then.
But the good news is, Herbie lived long enough to see Badger Bob win the cup. That's all I like.
You think that bothered Herbie?
Oh, no.
After his brief flirtation as the North Star coach?
Yes,
or his brief time as the North
Ranger,
Star coach?
With the Rangers, too. Oh. And to see Badger Bob. See Badger
but
Bob
you know
win
what?
The cup was not a highlight of not a highlight of Herbie's life, that's for sure.
The A-Rod possibility here, if it comes true, is going to be perfect for us. For people in our jobs. Oh, my God. It's
yeah,
be,
but I think, you know,
it could be fun.
People are going to love him.
It could be fun.
Because we like insincerity.
Yes, no, I know.
You
but you like to point it out.
How
that's my point.
How far is it away?
But my
the most insincere guy we've ever had is 2 miles away playing football from where we are right now. Mile and a half.
Yep.
We love him.
We do.
We love insincerity.
But you,
Lou Holtz, we love insincerity.
But this will especially benefit you because you like to point out the insincerity.
Oh, yes, yes. But I'm all in. Let's get A-Rod in here. We need somebody interesting involved with that franchise, right? We need, here's the NBA is about what? Celebrity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And since we,
it's
you
Hollywood.
Know. You get A-Rod, and then all of a sudden people are going to start looking at this team nationally because they got A-Rod.
Yep.
And suddenly Cat and Ant are going to be, they're not going to be first tier, but they're going to be in that conversation, you know, about, what are they doing this summer? You know, are they going to get traded? Are they going to get new contract? You know, what are they doing this summer? You know, they're going to be in.
Oh, he'll make him a draw, no question.
They're going to be in. Yeah, he will. And now, will he be willing to spend much of his winter in Minnesota? That is the question. Will he show up at the games?
He will at first.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, this
well,
is where
he'll love the ovation.
Oh, and
he
for
gets
a while, it's
in.
Gonna be it's gonna be a great start.
Oh, it is.
I guarantee it's gonna be a great start. But what's gonna happen is at some point in time when they make the ask of the building, his attendance will probably lessen at that point.
Oh, yes, because the first time
like,
he gets moved,
Pat, this few, is come on.
The first time he gets and
we've seen this before.
And the crowd for a Timberwolves, the actual ticket buying crowd. Will not be where most of his popularity is. His pop because that's an older group. His popularity will be with with the gamers and the you know the video crowd and the people. You know it'll be like with Chip Scoggins' son who tapes J. Morant games. That's the crowd. You know 18 or whatever he is.
Yes,
you know? He'll be very big with that crowd.
And they might even start showing up sometimes.
Who love the NBA, even though. Most games are lopsided, and you know who's going to be in the semifinals right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Yeah, but it's, yeah, we might as well take him. Let's go for
we
it.
We are so gullible, too.
Yeah,
we are,
oh, God.
We're going to absolutely love this.
You know who's going to meet him within, if he's in town for a couple of days.
Oh, Philip.
Philip John will come over and meet him.
Oh, yeah.
Philip John will come over and meet him.
Big fan just of like yours, A-Rod.
Just like he met Rock. I got to get a chance to meet. He will, if he sees A-Rod getting a little attention, he'll be over there attending his first.
Oh, he will have A-Rod Skype with recruits.
Yeah, probably. Yes, that's right. No, A-Rod is, Is he loyal to the Canes? I don't know. He never went there, but I mean, he was, I think, is that,
yeah,
where,
I don't know
he,
who he's
is
loyal.
That where he was going to go play if he wasn't the number one overall
draft? Yes,
draft
I think it was.
I will say I liked him as a kid.
He Did was, you?
Yeah, but he became a marketer of himself. He didn't have to market himself because his abilities did that for him. He's the best 19-year-old baseball player you've ever seen. Him and Griffey on the same team, basically. Both of them, you know, probably the best two teenage baseball players of my lifetime were teammates out there, what, 3 years apart or something? But Griffey just relied on baseball and a surly attitude, but A-Rod became a marketer of himself. And then he went to New York and he really found out the value of BS, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. He became as polished as you possibly can.
Oh, yes. And this is a remarkable comeback. He's as disgraced as Bonds. Maybe more so, because he got caught. He admitted it once and got caught again.
Yes.
And
lied through his teeth through
the whole time. Basically, he had to walk away from tens of millions, right? Because he got disgraced more than McGuire, and yet he's A-Rod. Hey, A-Rod, how you doing? You know what he can do? He can wear a nice suit.
Well, he can, but I also think he enjoys the challenge of seeing how much you can take.
Yeah, that's good.
He thinks you're stupid, and sometimes he's right.
Yes, yes. I always said about Reggie, I liked Reggie. The reason I like Reggie is he gave you credit for knowing he was full of crap, right? He would give you the BS, but he didn't expect you to believe it. Not all the time. You know, he didn't. A-Rod thinks you believe it.
Yes.
That's the difference. A-Rod, yes. And he's right 75% of the time, probably, right? Mm-hmm. But hey, you got the franchise that's had a little bit of a struggle since 2004, right?
Yeah.
And you got a chance to have somebody that got some sex appeal. Why not? I mean, my original reaction was not that phony, and now my reaction is, why not him as well as any other phony, right? You know, he's good for him. And you know what a great phony he is? He went over and ate Glenn Taylor's wife's banana cream pie and told her it's the greatest banana cream pie he ever ate in his life, right?
I want a tape of that conversation for the lies told. Oh, 2.5 years. Oh, Glenn, we'd love to watch what you do for 2.5 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we want to see how this.
He probably told his partner, just shut up and don't say a thing. I got all this.
We want to know how this smooth operation's working here. But you know what? I think it might buy Gerson in the coach a year, don't you think?
Yeah,
I think so.
I have no idea what they're going to try and do.
They'll let Gerson's. He has no gift of BS when he's trying to talk to the public. Gerson. I mean, he never says anything. He's a world-class sayer of nothing, right? But I don't know. Can he get in a room and BS with A-Rod and tell A-Rod what he wants him to hear? I don't know. I thought he'd be smoother than he is, but.
I bet he can do it, though, with A-Rod, because I think what he's trying to do with us is the same thing that Rocco does,
yes.
which is
we got all the confidence in the world in column A. He's our guy.
He just he's going to tell us nothing, but he's not good at it, and he doesn't give a damn. He just tells us nothing.
Rocco's actually, I mean, Rocco drives you crazy, but he's better at saying nothing than Rosas.
Yeah.
Rosas is the worst at saying nothing.
He's the server in that Curb Your Enthusiasm of there's been a disturbance in the kitchen. He literally, you know, what color is your tie? I think my tie is self-evident. I'm not going to tell him. He's not going to tell Larry or Jeff the disturbance that happened, but he is acknowledging that there has been a disturbance in the kitchen. That's Rocco Baldelli in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, him.
One of the best scenes.
Rocco. Yeah. Yes. And anyway, I don't. Rocco was supposed to, I'm not Rocco. A-Rod was supposed to be in town to not supposed to. There were speculation he and this guy were going to be there tonight and maybe wave. I don't know. I don't know if because of the circumstances with the young man being shot in Brooklyn Park and the turmoil that's taking place, if that's going to occur. Okay. I don't even know if the game's going to occur. It depends upon how much hell gets raised tonight. So,
right.
We have not seen what was said yet at the press conference about how this came about. But anyway.
If you want the best lawn on the block all season long, hook up with a Minnesota-grown lawn care company that knows that dandelions, mystery weeds, bare spots, and blight are completely unacceptable. That's ProfessionalTurf.com. If you want service techs with 20 years of experience, techs who throw down a combination of environmentally friendly weed killer and slow-release long-term fertilizers, then visit ProfessionalTurf.com. And you know what? While you're on the website, take a close look at their landscape projects. And don't forget, they'll service your irrigation system too. You will have the most lush and luxurious lawn on the block. It's our one stop for exceptional landscape irrigation services and the best lawn on the block. ProfessionalTurf.com.
And the Twins also are supposed to play four games here, and they start in lousy weather.
1 o'clock today.
Yeah, they got to play today because tomorrow 37 and snow.
Oof. Yeah, well, welcome to Minnesota.
Yes, that's
welcome
true.
To April.
And we're waiting for Donaldson to have a fast track. We might as well leave him in mothballs till they leave town, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. May
go to Anaheim. Why put him out there on a field like this? Okay, now it's, I said this on Twitter today, this morning, I had this thought this morning too. There's really nothing more fun in baseball if you're a cynic and realize it's 162 games and everything's not a crisis. There's nothing better than a very unreliable closer. Because it bonds us all.
Where does third base coach, where does a wavy third base coach rank?
But they don't blow as many games.
No, they don't. But I'm just saying, is the closer the best?
I mean, closer's best.
Okay.
Yes, closer's best.
I'm just asking.
Because it doesn't make any difference if you're an old fan or a young fan. Or if you're a casual fan or a hardcore fan, or if you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you love Trump or hate Trump, you can all get together and hate the bad closer, right? And Colome, in a mere, what, 9 games, has gained that status. It's pretty incredible to gain that status so quickly. Took Ron Davis a while, you know.
I compared him to RD yesterday on Twitter.
Took Ron Davis a while to establish himself. But I said this on Twitter today, and all the responses named Ron Davis still. When was RD? 84?
Yeah, mid-80s.
84, mid-80s.
82, right, to 84.
Declan wasn't born yet.
No, he wasn't near born.
He knows about Ron Davis, you know. So
I got a Matt Capps response. I said, not Ron Davis.
No. Matt Capps was, you know, we were mad at Matt Capps. A, he was fairly unreliable, but we were mad because they gave up Wilson Ramos for him when they didn't need him.
Yep. Yeah, RD was 82. I think they got him from the Yankees.
Yes.
And I think he was done by 84 or 85.
But 84 is when we really got mad at him because they were in the race.
Yes.
And he kept urinating away games. And it was fantastic. You know, one of the great nights of my life. We're in Cleveland. They're trying to hang on. They're chasing Kansas City. Well, they're only one behind or something. There's 800 people there. And this guy's out beating the drums, and he's the only guy in the whole stadium in the bleachers. They didn't have 1,000 people in this mammoth stadium. And Jamie Quirk comes up, and Gardner goes out and talks to him, and Gardner himself goes out and talks to him and says, don't throw him a fastball. He's walking back. He isn't to the dugout yet, and Jamie Quirk has hit the only home run and the only at-bat he ever had for Cleveland. The only at-bat he ever had for Cleveland. He hits a home run, and some of the stuff that manager Gardner said he didn't have an office in there. That it was just a room, you know, just a little area in this cramped, lousy visitors clubhouse. And he basically badmouthed everything about him, you know, just ripped RD up one side and down the other. And RD was standing about 20 feet, sitting about 20 feet away. That was having a drink, you know, Slick having a drink. And and then when did we fire Slick? 86?
Yeah, it was during 86. And they 86. Brought in Ray, right?
And then he gets a job as then Dick Houser gets sick, right, and dies?
Yes.
And, or is going to die.
Brain, yeah.
Brain
cancer.
And they hire Slick as the manager in late, right, yep, at the start of spring training.
Yep.
So I go up to see him, and I think it's Bobby Nightingale was there covering the Royals. Mm-hmm. And we're in the Clearwater ballpark, so they're playing the Phillies and spring training. And Slick is from me to you away in the corner of the dugout, and we're sitting down there. There's 200 people there, you know. And Nightingale said, I said to Nightingale, what's he making? What are they paying him? He says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. I didn't ask him. And I said, Slick, what are they paying you? 300 grand, pal. You know, you know. 300 bal, not bad for a tube salesman, you know, which he always talked about selling meat, you know, meat salesman, tube salesman.
Oh, God, but,
it was the greatest. But the punchline in there is they had a right-handed pitcher, big right-handed pitcher, tall right-handed pitcher with glasses. I think he wore glasses. John Davis. John Davis was one of their prospects. And I said, Slick, this kid looks pretty good. And he says, yeah, he does, but what do you think the odds of me having a tall right a reliever named Davis on my team again? He's got no chance. I'm not putting him on this club. I already had one of those, you know.
Oh, God.
He was. We don't get that from Rocco. That's
no,
sure.
You don't.
We don't get that. But that, they've invented some ways to that day. Yesterday, I didn't see it. I was up in Collegeville, and I was listening to it on the way back. But what Shoemaker, like, went freaky or something?
Yeah, and he lost it, and they didn't take him out.
Yeah, why? And
I don't know why they didn't take
him
out.
They took out Pineda with 75
pitches. Yeah, which is what I don't understand.
Before,
why not leave Pineda in so that you save the bullpen so that you can rely on Shoemaker starting to struggle.
Did Rogers ever get in the game yesterday then?
No.
No.
No. No. They brought in Stashek.
Yeah.
And he came back in and then hit a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of just lost it. And then they brought in Theobar. And then they brought in Colome to close it out. And
so
he was awful.
So Shoemaker gave up the 3-run homer to make it 6-4. And then then Stashek was charged with one run, right?
Yep.
So you know what? Listening to Mr. Provis on the way home, you could tell his apprehension when Colome entered
Robles came in before Colome did.
Did he get him out again?
And he threw 11 pitches in the eighth. He was fantastic, and he came out.
Okay, because we had to go to our closer. Because
we had which I don't understand since they don't have a closer.
And they let Colome finish.
And Robles looked fantastic.
They let Colome finish. Yeah, he's looked good so far.
And then Alcala came in after Colome got one out and gave up the home run.
Gave me my chance to break out the line, though. Hansel, and we have Hansel, and we now have Regrettable, too.
You're right. You've been sitting on that
Hansel
one.
Hansel and Regrettable. Yes.
Yes, coming
but I, you
to
know
fruition.
What? This sounds like BS, but when I think Jim Suhan wrote something optimistically about as camp was starting, about the new bullpen and Colome, but there, like I read about a day or two earlier about how Colome, who throws 75% cutters, his velocity was going. He didn't throw as hard last year. Now, they might have been trying to blame that on the pandemic season.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I see a guy who relies on the cutter losing velocity, I think of Phil Hughes. Because I read something when Hughes was struggling. I just went back to try to find out what was going on. And there's all kinds of analytical work on cutters lose velocity. Guys that throw cutters constantly lose velocity. And that's, you know, Hughes was cruising at 94 when he had the good year here. Mm-hmm. And the next spring, he couldn't hit 90. He was throwing like 87, 88, 89 in spring training. And they were saying, he's getting loose. And he was saying, you know, he's not a BSer, but he was trying to say, well, I never throw great in spring training. But he never, you know, 90 became his best fastball.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he didn't throw hard.
No.
He used to throw hard. He doesn't throw hard anymore. I mean, Robles throws a lot harder than he does.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say in Rocco's defense of the quotes today about he's our guy, blah, 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 that is no different than every other manager who has tied his wagon to a closer. They will say that till the bitter end, and then they'll drop him like a bad habit. They all say, yes, we have full confidence in him. TK would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
We have full confidence in him. He's our guy, except 2 days later, it was the ninth inning and somebody else came in. And this guy became the sixth inning guy.
There is nothing Rocco says for the most part that you need to concern yourself with as being real.
Yes, that's true. Being the gospel.
Yeah. But I mean, he's going to say whatever he needs to say, but he doesn't tell you anything about. I mean, a guy can have his leg cut off and he might play in 2 days.
I have been a client of the Canopy Group for 5 years, and at my last renewal, they are still saving me money. Patrick Ricey here to talk to you about your home and auto insurance. How long have you been with your current insurance company? When was the last time your agent called you and said they could save you money and get you better coverage? This just happened to me. Truly, it did. Each year, the Canopy Group reviews my home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. This year, they saved me an additional $791. How? Because the Canopy Group is keeping an eye on my insurance needs and making sure I am always with the right insurance provider. Paying less and getting more is a concept I like. I can't promise that you'll save $791, but I can promise you they'll give you options. They'll even tell you if you should stay where you are with that company. Do what I did and contact them at thecanopygroup.com. That's thecanopygroup.com. I was talking to Lavelle yesterday after the game, and this is evil's a strong word, but this is the evil of the Zoom era. You cannot grill people. It's a tradition in baseball clubhouses. Is he a stand-up guy? Yep. You know, he's a stand-up guy. When he doesn't get him out,
like Rodgers does.
Yeah. He's a stand-up guy when he doesn't get him out.
Yep.
Well, you don't get those guys anymore.
Nope.
In fact, when they told me that when they lost the opener, the only guys they only put two guys on Zoom, Rocco and one player. I can't remember which player, but was it Buck? Who had a good night? Was it Buxton, maybe? I don't know. Who had a good first game? I can't remember. So you can't talk to Colome.
Yep.
You can't talk to Garver on what his view of the throw to second was. You can't. I mean, yesterday you can't talk to, you know, what the hell was that? You know, all you get is Rocco's BS, and I don't know who else. Buxton they obviously had on Zoom again
late,
yesterday.
But yeah, he came on.
But you only get the heroes.
Yeah.
You know, even the heroes of defeat, you don't get the other side of it. And baseball is a 162-game melodrama played out day after day. And the downside, you should be allowed to cover the down part as much as the upside, but you don't get to.
Sports are based on sidebars. Sports are based on the nuanced things that you can go talk to people about, right?
Yes.
And we can't do that now.
No. And I think the same thing, you're going to have the same thing in football, right? Did you get the cornerback who let somebody catch 10 passes last year on Zoom after Viking games?
Dan Bailey, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you never
you missed three kicks. What happened?
Yeah.
You don't get that anymore.
No.
But, I mean, it's based on situations.
These teams, you know what? It's cost them a lot of money. But Major League Sports, in the long run, approve of the pandemic.
Oh, players and managers and coaches, sure.
Yeah, they can't.
And I don't think football is ever going back to something what we had before.
And baseball is going to be extremely limited.
And how do you cover baseball then, though?
I don't know.
Because you're right. It's 162 games, and it's ordinarily picking out the little stuff.
Yes. I remember writing various gamers and stuff on Dave Holland's taking a guy out at second base, and it sets up the whole inning. And you talk to him, and you talk to a couple other people involved in it, and blah blah blah. And even if you get him, you're not going to talk to him for 8 minutes find out his history as a base runner and who taught him to slide like that. And that's the backstory is gone as far as immediacy. Mm-hmm. As far as immediacy, you know. Now, if you can get a phone interview with somebody and talk to them for 30, 40 minutes, you might be able to get a piece that has a little meat in it. But the daily backstory is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
and what's gone too is the emotion. Like, you don't get to go, you know, they've got that cooling off period that they call it. But there's a lot of times that guys don't really cool. You know, they're still in the moment. That's gone, too. Because if you sit them down in front of a... if you take them to a Zoom room and you sit them down in front of the Zoom and there's a PR guy right there, they're going to be much more careful.
You know, I haven't heard him, but just from the quotes I've been reading, what's happened to Cat? They can't keep him off Zoom, man. He's doing Zoom all the time. It's great.
Yeah,
he's at least he's taking more responsibility for being Cat than he ever has, I think. What do you think's going on?
I think that he is because of what he's been through with his mom and his family. I think the Zooms are actually serving as a therapy for him to air his feelings. I really do.
And you know, because
he's talking about a bunch of different
thing
stuff
about A-Rod. A-Rod being here.
Yep.
Keeps Cat.
Well, like you said,
complaining.
If they go out to Elmont.
Well, yeah, if they go to California in normal times, A-Rod and Cat are going to be having dinner together, right?
Yeah.
At some very nice place with very expensive champagne, and A-Rod's going to be picking up the check and then charging it to the team.
Yeah, I was going to say, but, he's going to be paying the bill.
Yeah, but, you know, A-Rod and Jordan Woods and J-Lo and Cat are going to be going to dinner.
Oh, it's
going to
be great. I'm not saying it won't be fun. I'm saying it's not going to end well.
Yeah, get ready to. And by the way, those new stadiums we build now, those new arenas, the X cost what? 200?
Yeah.
240?
Oh, they're way more than
240.
Now.
They're a billion now.
I think it's a rhetorical question, but why on earth did they remodel Target Center?
That's the bet. You know what? Same reason you didn't put a roof on Target Field. You took what you could get. They eventually got sick of running their heads into a wall with the state legislature, and they took what they could get.
Yeah,
and
no,
Jerry Bell will tell you that. They took what they could get, and that's what the Timberwolves did. They took what they could get.
To put lipstick on that pig of a... There is no building like it left. They're all gone.
And when you look at it now... And you think this is the way? This was called the ultimate arena when they built it.
Yes, it was.
But
the worst thing
about it is there are 25% more seats upstairs than downstairs. That they built what 11,000 bad seats, right? 11,500 bad seats and 6,000 good ones.
I want to know who designed it. I still to this day would love to know who proposed that and said, you know what, Bob, that's a great idea.
Yes, and by the way, people will love watching basketball or even hockey from way up there, which we have no way of getting to, by the way.
Their biggest problem, though, besides that one, is the suites, because there's still going to be, in the structure of the building, a lack of ability to put in suites. That's what they'll want more of.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Because you got the upstairs, downstairs. You got
a lot of people tell me the suite business is not the future of sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That if you can get 40 suites, 30 suites. The idea of having
the old
endless suites is not...
Because that's what the buildings that came along after Target Center did, you know.
Yeah, one thing about the Wild is it, I don't think they have... They have a huge number of them, I don't think, do they?
They got a pretty good number, yeah, because they've got different... They've got a couple different tiers.
But didn't they take some out to put in that end zone there?
Yep.
So I...
But it's the club experience.
I heard that... Yeah, it's the...
You know, you want the club experience.
Yes, that's it.
The bar.
It's not suites, but you have to have the lounge in each end zone that's only for certain people.
But, I mean, you still... That goes for a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. Where do you build it, by the way?
The new arena? You tear down the...
Tear down the farmer's market. Well, you can't wait for 3-4
years. You could go play at the X.
Yeah, you could play at the X, but you could also, if you're going to build a new one, you could build it down there on the where they were going to build the soccer stadium.
Yeah,
before the genius.
I'm sure glad I didn't do that.
Pike Lane Betsy turned down the soccer arena because they were going to not have to pay taxes on their sales tax on the materials to build it for free.
I know
that was a fine decision.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but. They're starting their season, by the way. I heard this rumor, right? Aren't they?
What, soccer
Declan.
Team?
Declan.
You can't hear us.
Declan. Come on, Declan.
I thought they're starting it a month late.
Saturday.
Hold on.
I think that's the opener.
I thought they were going to start a month late. I thought their whole idea was...
Come in, Declan.
He doesn't even like soccer.
I thought he was a soccer guy.
No, that was Jonathan Harrison.
Jonathan, yeah.
Well, I know that. I can call Jonathan. He's my emergency. Does the soccer team start Saturday?
The 16th. Is that?
We're the home of it. Yeah. Get with it. You're
the Seattle Sounders.
Yes, in Seattle. Seattle.
The 16th.
I don't think they're home for a couple of weeks.
Yes,
but
they don't open the season at home. Yep, they're in Seattle on Friday at 8:30.
Oh, we get to play the Sounders again.
Mm-hmm.
That's who beat us, right?
I think Mackie might be waving his
revenge.
His,
yeah,
I hope he goes. Yeah,
is he? Who's he rooting for? Is he
that's a
Moons guy or is he now become a Sounders guy? I suppose he was happy yesterday.
Why is that?
Being out in Seattle when the Twins urinated away that 6-run lead, he was probably cheering out there in Seattle, right?
With that nondescript ball club, I don't know. That Trammell's a nice player, though.
Yeah. Ooh,
can he hit the ball?
He can run. He's a good player.
They have as many guys as I've never heard of in my life till they came to town.
Well, there's a few lineups you can check out right now. Good luck with Pittsburgh. Good luck by figuring out that lineup. Boy, I feel sorry for my Washington Nats. I'm a Washington Nats fan. They got half their lineup still not playing. Their pitching doesn't give up any runs, and they still get beat. They can't score a run.
Oh, they still got COVID protocol guys?
I think the Dodgers beat them 1-0.
How'd the Red Sox? What the hell happened?
They got swept
by the Orioles and looked like crap, and they've won six straight, and now they're here today.
J.D. Martinez, who hit 3 home runs yesterday, watching the video of J.A. Happ. He was at the ballpark at 6:30 this morning playing. We can play. Don't worry about this.
Begging him to decline the player option 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, they're trying to get rid of him. Well, they lost the first three to Baltimore, first time in history.
They were terrible.
Everybody was, and now they're scoring 12 runs a game. You know, they do have Bogarts, and they do have him, and they got a third baseman, Devers, can hit a little bit. But the other guys are – but I feel sorry for my pal Shaughnessy, the columnist out there, because he was disemboweling them.
For now, 3 days.
And now they're going after him, something fierce. You know,
I love the East Coast.
He was disemboweling them all spring.
I love the East Coast.
Come to spring training.
And he still did.
Because of COVID, but he said made it because who wants to watch this sunken ship and they haven't spent any money. And they're still going to stink because their pitching's no good. Oh, good. Marty Perez on the hill in Monday's game. So
Martin Perez comes back for his
I'd rather have him than J.A. Happ. I do not like J.A. Happ.
J.A. Happ, right?
Yeah, I'm calling him J.A.
Happ. No, I know. I can never remember which one it is.
J. Happ is a tall Tommy Malone. 3-2 on everybody. He's a tall Tommy Malone.
You have never.
Now, this will be on later today. He might pitch a two-hit shutout. Who knows? Well, two hits, five innings.
You, You didn't go yesterday. Did you know that Shoemaker works at, if a guy gets on, we get the wandering around BS.
Oh, really?
This drives me
crazy. I saw Lavelle take a shot at him.
I thought we were going to be there 4 hours when she started.
How did they let him get away with it?
We were 3:28, first of all. 3:28. I don't know, but Patty wandered, you know, guy gets on, I'm going to head, you know, wanders around.
Yeah, maybe with his history, he's got to take time to see what hurts.
But it's cold out. Just move. Your fielders hate you.
Yeah, well, probably. Unbelievable.
Is that that much to
what
ask?
Are we going to do with Big Fatty?
Oh, I wrote about it.
I know.
And I got immediate feedback.
Well,
he can't play every day. Like, that's, I'm just starting
No,
there.
He's got to.
Bring Kirloff up on Saturday.
Well, I don't have to do that.
And he can play some first base.
You don't have to do that. Let Astudillo play first. What the hell?
Well, that's even more. But I'm just saying, I'm not advocating praising him, and I'm not saying that they should cut him or trade him for nothing.
Because he's...
You can't send him down.
You can't send him down.
Right, but I'm saying, so the realistic option is he can't play every day.
I do put him on waivers. And if somebody claims him, they can give me some guy and they can
really?
Have him. Yeah. I don't think it's there.
Wow.
I don't think it's there. What pitch is he going to hit? They're smart enough now, they never throw him a breaking ball that's over the plate,
yep.
Right? That's the only thing he can hit.
Yes.
It's awful. It's awful.
Oh, it's unwatchable.
It's a legitimate, and by the way, Polanco, he could mix in a hit too, but 3-for-34, and he struck out in 23 straight games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
it's sad.
And the trouble with him is, when it gets bad, it gets worse.
Correct.
Because then it's... Because now he's swinging. At the start of the year, he wasn't chasing as many bad pitches, right? Now he's so screwed up that he's chasing bad pitches.
I got a note from somebody last night on Twitter that said he's actually not chasing a lot of bad pitches, and he's swinging at good pitches. And I said, well, that's a bigger problem then, because what you're telling me is he can't hit good pitches, which is why you're in the big
leagues. He wasn't swinging it. He wasn't early. He wasn't.
Right, but
lately he is.
That means
I call up the Marlins.
Yep.
And say, get James Rousen on the phone. And I say, James, you want your man back? Give us a pitcher.
Interesting.
Give us your pitcher.
Okay. See, that's more drastic than I'm going, but.
No. I don't know.
But something has to be done. I'm with you. We can't sit here.
What is he, 27? He's 27.
28, I think 28. Phil said, yeah.
And he might be 30. Because there was a big controversy about how old he was.
We scanned his skeleton.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, we did. That had to be a big machine when you scanned him. This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush, and EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's EcoFunMotorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained. How about this guy being back? My all-time favorite, Berkey's. That's the one guy I'd rather have in town than A-Rod.
Oh, Berkey's great.
Berkey's the greatest.
And he's trading for guys left. And he just traded for Jeff Carter in Pittsburgh.
Hates Europeans.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hate Europeans. I don't know if he gets them now, but at one point he hated Europeans.
Yeah, I think he turned around after the Sedins, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Because he got the Sedins in Vancouver.
Maybe. He hated Europeans.
But he's the greatest.
He is. I dined a guy who never played hockey, right?
No, he played in college.
But he never played pro. When he got here,
in the NHL.
He moved here when he was like 16-year-old guy, moved to Dinan and never played hockey.
Oh, I don't
never
know.
Seen
okay.
hockey. So yeah, something like that. Anyway, is today the deadline or tomorrow?
Today. This afternoon.
How many trades has there been? You got to love the NHL.
They were making trades at 50. Midnight.
Did we do anything yet?
Not yet, no.
What are we waiting for? Are we going to do something?
I'm not sure. I want Chris Simon.
Oh, I want Chris.
The Riser's greatest move of all time.
Was that the end of him?
Publicly it was. He was eviscerated publicly
for
that move.
Well, because he said he was going to be a leader. And remember when they used to have that up on the – they used to have the famous quotes up in the press box, and they had a quote from Chris Simon about being a teammate and stuff. And I said to Sickman or somebody, I said, you can find him. This was up there for like 2 years after he left, you know. He was as big a mutt.
They're quitting now to replace stuff, by the way.
He's as big a mutt as they've ever had, man.
Oh, he was, yeah. The Riser was absolutely filleted for that one, and he deserved every bit of it.
Yeah. But he was a bad guy, too. He was just a jackass. I tried to talk to him once. He was a bad guy.
Didn't have any time for you. Yeah. You know what? The problem is Guerin's smart enough that I don't think he's going to make a Chuck Fletcher trade.
No.
You know, and Fletch would swap
his
draft picks.
Well, I think some of Fletch's trades were because of Leopold.
Probably.
We got to make the playoffs.
I think this guy.
We got to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this guy
has
probably told him we're doing it my way.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. That's good. Well, you know, he might have to trade a couple of more of those staples that Fenton gave him. Team Fenton, this is what I call it. Most of their key players.
Yeah, Fiala. He started all the trades.
Mm-hmm.
He started cleaning out the room.
So what happened? 9-1. How'd that happen?
Didn't show up. It was awful. It was awful. And I complained about this with Phil.
Is this the first time no-show?
This
serious
is a,
no-show?
This is a old-school wild
no-show.
But I complained to Phil, too. Dino leaves Kakinen in for every goal. It's like, you could put Cam Talbot in for the third period and bring him back Saturday.
Yes.
He's not going to melt.
No, I mean, that's...
This poor kid.
Now he's... You know, his goals against averages, it's like the...
Leaving a guy in for 9 goals against is a story.
It's like Kepler in spring training. You know, after a while, you're going to have to get 10 hits to get above 0.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, it was brutal.
And he's a kid.
Him in for the whole thing.
Yeah, I was really surprised
bad,
by that.
Bad weekend in Pittsburgh for the state of hockey. We sent 3 teams out there, and we let UMass win it easy. I think Mankato was the best Minnesota team. They should have beaten St. Cloud. I think they were the best Minnesota team. And St. Cloud, somehow they beat BC, and then
Declan's club. They got drilled.
Yeah. Oh, they were terrible. St. Cloud. I mean, but Matt, UMass had better players. I watched some of it. UMass had great forwards. They had great forwards.
Yeah, they were the better team.
Yeah. Well, they, you know.
By far.
By the third period, and against Duluth, it was one side of the ice too.
Well, Duluth was out of gas too.
Plus,
they had nothing left.
Yeah, but they had a bye. Why did they have a game?
Because it must have been because of the OT game that they played. Because when they went to overtime,
shots were 12-2 before they scored. Right?
They never got
I watched quite a bit of it. I like Sandlin, so I watched quite a bit of it. And I watched. I don't know the St. Cloud coach, but Hastings is a hell of a guy. They say Larson's a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a good dude.
Yeah, I haven't met him, but I
college don't. Hockey coaches are usually pretty.
Oh
decent.
Yeah, they're great. Not as great as they used to be when they'd all sit and have lunch together. And
Dean Haxtell would stare in your soul and you looked at
Well, Dean Haxtell was going one place, the National Hockey League.
Oh, I talked to him the other day, the Blazer, who's one of my all-time favorites.
How's he doing?
Oh, yeah. I called him up to answer some question about, I can't even remember what it was. And then I talked to him for like 10 minutes. He's doing fine. He's living in Arizona, I believe. And, he's remarried. His wife died. And, but the Blazer... Nicest guy ever. When we talked to him and was, but they say he got you in the locker room after a bad period. I've told this story. he had an assistant. I can't remember who it is. North Dakota came in here, and it was in the X, so it was the final five. And it was like I was over there. It was a semifinal game, and they were terrible. And the next period, they came out, and they were like, whoosh. And then, you know, and I said to the assistant, I said, what happened between periods? He said, coach peeled the paint off the wall.
Yeah. There are some good Dean Blay stories about that. Yeah. I think he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. Oh, he was great.
He had some Herbie to him, I think, when it came to his ability to motivate between periods. Adjustments, they call them now.
That was a pretty good recruiting class that the third piece never came, though. Antonovich, Blazer, and Henry Boucher was supposed to be the third guy that came to the U, and then unlike today, they didn't really open the gates to the U for Henry. They were going to make him sit out a year, I think. So he went and signed with juniors. Yeah, went and signed with juniors. That's the famous story, which I'll tell again. That's when you could send boosters to recruit. So they had Sodmore went to see Antonovich, and they sent Bruce Thielander up the International Falls to see Blaze, and they sent George Lyon over to see Henry at War Road. And so they got in a conference call that night because the next morning they were going to sign the letters of intent. And so Sodmore got all three of them on the conference call and said, how are we doing there, guys? And he says, I got Anton all lined up. We're going to sign him tomorrow morning. And Thielander says, yeah, we're good with Blaze. Hell, he's the damn near the valedictorian of the class. And they said, how's it doing with Henry, George? And this was when it was class ranking. And then AC did the class ranking could make up for bad academics, you know, or make up for bad test scores. And George says, we just got one little thing we got to figure out. We have to tell the girl who thought she was the valedictorian that she's now the salutatorian. We gotta tell her that she just got beat out at the finish line by Henry to get him in school. So, but Henry is a great guy. But that would have been a pretty good recruiting class.
Yeah,
Antonovich plays and shit.
So he signed with.
He went and played juniors in Canada. Yeah, yeah. But that would have been.
Is Sodmore the greatest character in this town among coaches?
You're Burnsy, I would say. You're Burnsy.
Okay.
Probably him because he was always up.
Yeah. You know,
Burnsy would be.
He also ran through every like permeation of Minnesota.
Oh, sure.
Like Gophers.
Oh, yes.
Fighting Saints, North Stars.
Crazed alcoholism. Dedicated sobriety.
Yeah.
Dedicated sobriety. Yeah. He's as much of a favorite guy of mine as, I mean, you know, I'm not a big hockey guy, but. God, I'd sit and listen to his stories for hours. They were unbelievable. And he, unlike me, he didn't have to tell the same ones all the time. You know, he was, I remember talking to Bob Rouse. What was that? It was Bob Rouse.
Yeah, Bob Rouse, the defenseman.
He was mad at Bob Rouse. And he said, because he was, all of a sudden he was handling puck. He said, I've seen guys like him. They start off as a crusher. They turn into a rusher. And then they're an usher. Yep. That was the first time I heard that was from him. That's one of his own guys, you know. But, oh, God, he was funny. God, he was funny, you know. So, you know, he got Antonovich into college over at the agricultural school. After your second year, he had to get out of general college. He got him into animal recreation. supposedly some kind of animal recreation inside.
Oh, God.
Anton's line, supposedly, what do I do, walk cows? He loved Antonovich.
He's a hell of a player.
Oh, God, he loved him. He is, you know, I went to his going away party, and Anton came down for it out at his senior living place.
Yep.
Before he moved to Toronto to live with his sister.
Yep.
God almighty. I could have written a novel that night. The stories they were telling, you know, there was 100 of them there that played for him. Mostly Gophers, you know.
Right.
It was great. Oh, it was great.
All right, sir.
All right. We were in a good mood today. Not much ranting.
A-Rod. You want A-Rod?
Bring A-Rod. What the
hell?
You want
A-Rod.
It's the NBA. Let's go. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.